I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Councilor Egbert?
Here.
Councilor Boggs?
Here.
Councilor Meyer?
Here.
Councilor Anderson?
Here.
Councilor Lazier is excused. Councilor Stone?
Here.
Mayor McKnight?
Here. Introduction to media. Do we have any media here tonight? Announcements. Anyone wishing to speak before the City Council tonight on any subject matter will need to fill out a speaker form and turn it into the recorder. Forms are available on the sign-in table in the back of the room. Public comment, agenda items only. The purpose of public comment period is to allow citizens to present information or raise issues regarding agenda items only. There will be a time at the end of the meeting for citizens to speak about off-agenda items. A time limit of 3 minutes per citizen shall apply. All citizens must come up to the microphone and please state name and address. I do have one, Noreen. There, come right up to the mic, please.
Noreen Arnold, 1810 Rice Valley South Road, Portland. And I would like to say that we should have the marijuana legal sales for everybody on your 8A ordinance 1046.
Thank you. Presentations, we don't have any at all, correct? That's what I thought. I just wanted to start. Council business, we have consent agenda, minutes from the July 27, 2015 regular meeting, and approval of the pro temp judges. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
What was the motion?
To accept the consent agenda and the pro temp.
I'll second this.
So then moved and seconded for the approve the minutes from July 27, 2015 regular meeting and approval of the pro temp judges. Is there any discussion? No? Go ahead.
How do we use the pro temp judges?
Only when Andrew has court in Roseburg or if he's sick, out of town. It's very rare, but
so then we just
we've done it for years, but we've just never officially done it. Don't know. We're assuming that we're supposed to, so we're just doing that step.
Do we work out their salary later?
I'm not sure if Andrew's going to pay the one this time since he requested him because he's going to be gone. But yeah, well, it'll be between the two. So whatever that amount is that he's here, that'll come out of Andrew's.
Any other questions? Go ahead and vote.
Councilor Egbert?
Aye.
Councilor Boggs?
Aye.
Councilor Meyer?
Aye.
Councilor Anderson?
Aye.
Councilor Stone?
Aye.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Action items, general business. We have ordinance number 1046, marijuana facilities, second reading and adoption. Ask recorder to read the ordinance number 1046 by title only.
Ordinance number 1046, an ordinance adding a new chapter 8.18 to the Sutherland Municipal Code prohibiting the establishment of marijuana facilities within the city and declaring an emergency.
Call for staff report, city attorney.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Chad Jacobs from the city attorney's office. This is the second reading of the proposed ordinance that would be adopted under House Bill 3400, which would ban most of the marijuana facilities within city limits. The only one that this ordinance would not apply to are medical marijuana grow sites, which House Bill 3400 does not permit you to prohibit. Again, the reason for doing this is simply to reiterate the previous ban that you had in place, but to take away any state preemption arguments that existed under your previous ordinance. And that's why we're recommending that you adopt it. This is the second reading, so if you approve it tonight, then it will have an emergency clause and will go into effect immediately. With that, I'll answer any questions that you have.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve ordinance number 1046.
Second?
I'll second.
Been moved and second.
Jed, why are...
Hang on. Number 1046, marijuana facility presented. Go ahead. Discussion.
Why are we doing an emergency clause? We've had months for this to get brought to us.
Well, actually, this was just signed into law at the June 30th, I think, was the actual date. So, we've had about a month. We brought it to you at your next available meeting. This is the second reading. The reason for the emergency clause is that the way the law works, if you recall, is that this has to go to the voters November 2016. Once you pass this ordinance, however, and we send notice to the state won't issue any licenses. So this sort of stops the state from issuing any licenses until the voters have a chance to vote on this November 2016. If people actually get a license through the state before this happens, before this law takes effect, then they could be grandfathered in which case you'd be creating a monopoly for one entity during this time period.
But when they're not issuing licenses until after January?
Well, so there's two different programs, remember. There's the recreational program and the medical program. The medical marijuana dispensaries can still register with the state and go through that whole process. So this would prohibit the medical marijuana dispensaries from being able to get in that interim time period.
Any more discussion or questions? Go ahead and vote.
Councilor Egbert?
Aye.
Councilor Boggs?
Aye.
Councilor Meyer?
Aye.
Councilor Anderson?
Aye.
Councilor Stone?
No.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. On to liquor license approval, new outlet, Dollar General. Call for staff report, Chief of Police.
Mayor, Council President, Councilors, Kirk Sanfilippo, Chief of Police for the City of Sutherland. This is a Oregon liquor license request by the new Dollar General store here in the City of Sutherland. It's for an off-premise sale of alcoholic beverages at 6360 Central. The request is the result of this new retail business being within our city limits. The individual applying is Larry Gatta, and he's the general merchandise manager for this facility. Happy to answer any questions anybody may have.
How far is the store from school property?
I'd have to measure it. I have no idea.
Within 1,000 feet?
Probably.
Do we got a motion?
I'll make a motion we approve the liquor license for Dollar General.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Been moved and second to approve the liquor license approval for the new outlet, Dollar General. Any more discussion?
I had one question. Sure, you bet. I just want clarification on off-premises. What's that?
That means you buy it in the store and you have to take it with you.
Okay.
You can't stay inside and drink it. You can't stand outside and drink it.
Okay. That's what I thought. Thanks.
Good question.
Anybody else?
I don't think anybody.
Go ahead and vote.
Councillor Egbert?
Aye.
Councillor Boggs?
Aye.
Councillor Meyer?
Aye.
Councillor Anderson?
No.
Councillor Stone?
No.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. Reports. We got fire service update. Chief.
Mayor, Council President, Councillors Kirk Sample, Chief of Police. This is a very brief fire services update as a result of a request last week from Councillor Meyer by way of an email. I do want to let the council know that I, the assistant chief, and the chief of the fire department have put into place a means of being able to conduct public assist calls, specifically lift assist calls. During the month of July, we had none that would qualify as a lift assist. And on the stat sheet that I sent you today, I tried to break down each of the categories as I placed numbers in that particular line item. So for public assist, for example, you'll know that means broken water lines, electrical issues, things like that are all considered public assist, including lift assist. So last month we ran no lift assist calls based on the fact we weren't going to be doing those anymore. After we transitioned sometime around the 28th, current to date from August the 1st to last night at midnight, we've run 6 public assist calls. All 6 have been lift assist calls. So the process we put into place to be able to allow this is either the fire chief, the assistant fire chief, I, or one of the two sergeants will be on call and available for these lift assists. We'll respond after hours. The fire chief or assistant fire chief or myself will respond after hours, and we'll take care of the lift assist. If we need help, we'll call for a police officer. If there's no police officer available, we'll call for either the fire chief, the assistant fire chief, whoever's not on scene will get a call. If they're not available, we'll ring down the next up station to come back to us to help us with the lift assist. So we have a pretty good plan in place, I think, to be able to meet these expectations. There might be a delay on occasion where we're not going to be able to get there real quickly. There might be a 15, 20, 30 minute delay.
Who makes the call on when it goes from public assist to medical?
To medical.
Dispatch either makes the call at the time the call comes in, or when we get on scene and we ask them, are you hurt? Do you have a complaint of pain? If they say, yes, I have a complaint of pain, we stop everything and we call for an ambulance. If there's anything obvious, they got a bump on the head, they don't remember how they got the bump on the head, but they're on the ground, we call for an ambulance. If in doubt, we exercise an overabundance of caution and we call for the ambulance. We're also working with CIS and the city attorney to craft a waiver form so that when we do lift them, we may be presenting them with a waiver releasing the city of responsibility if, after the fact, they realize they were hurt and we did lift them. The city attorney can speak more specifically about this. It's going to limit our liability. It probably won't release us from all liability. We have a liability for every single thing we do every day. I'm happy to entertain any more questions you may have. The stats, as I pulled them up to date in August, we ran 29 total calls last year in the fire services. This year in 10 days, or this month in 10 days only, we've already run 14. Six of those 14 were lift assists.
How many of the calls that you get a call for lift assist end up having to call an ambulance for?
For the six that we've run to date, we called an ambulance twice. But these are all new statistics to us. Mm-hmm. I just started tracking this.
Okay. Douglas County has a trauma sheet for falls and accidents. And could you tell me, maybe Chris could tell me, what does ILS treatment, what does ILS stand for? Do you know?
ILS?
ALS. No, there's ALS, BLS, and ILS.
I have no idea.
I know the ALS and BLS. Okay. Do you know, Chris?
I don't. I'd have to see the form.
So we're talking possibly a 20, 30 minute delay for one of you to respond.
If it's during daytime hours. If it's during daytime hours, I'm sorry, Counselor, I didn't mean to interrupt you. The response time has been anywhere from 2 to 4 minutes.
Right, I understand.
But after hours, it could be a little bit longer than that, depending upon who's responding. If it were an emergency, then that's a little different. If they're down and they want to get up, and it's not an emergency, then we're going to handle it as, you know, what we call...
Well, I'm just thinking that, you know, a lot of these people are not self-evaluators to know whether or not they need a medical or not.
They're not.
If they have to wait 20, 30 minutes for one of you to show up, that could push them critical.
After hours, it's potential that it could. But okay. we're not first responder certified either. We're just going to go there as basic first aid CPR people, and we're going to do our best to make the right call.
Chief, what's after hours? What time?
It would be any time.
Like after 5 even?
After 5 at night, okay. Before 8 in the morning. Okay. Saturdays and Sundays. Right now, the fire chief and the assistant fire chief are working Monday through Friday, essentially 8 to 4, 8 to 5. We may transition that schedule at some point in the future under our short-term plan so that we have 7-day-a-week coverage, but they won't both be on duty at the same time, obviously. There'll be one overlap day, and then they will take the weekend. One of them will take the weekends, one of them will take the early part of the weekdays.
But that's in the future, you said.
Yeah, probably after. We're going to see how things go for the next 30 days through the month of August. and then we're going to possibly make an adjustment.
How many of the lift assists were after hours? Approximately, percentage-wise, half? Or
after all the analysis I did, I knew somebody would ask. I don't know. Assistant Chief Brevet, give me a guesstimate. 50%?
It's at least 50%.
Okay.
So, and the response time was still pretty good because the assistant chief lives not too far out of the city, and he drives a brush truck to and from his home every day, so he responds with an emergency vehicle.
Okay.
We're also going to be looking at, CIS has offered to look for some training for us for lifting. My biggest concern is the two sergeants or the assistant chief or fire chief end up with a back injury. Mm-hmm. So I've already ordered some transition boards to be used on some occasions. We may need to look at lift belts and some other things. I just don't want somebody getting hurt, especially if we try to do this by ourselves and it really takes two or three people to do it.
So when Fire District 2 is doing it, they send a fire truck out first? And
I think the ambulance and the fire apparatus when the ambulance was available. Okay, so I talked with Chief Marlar at length as we try to make this decision in the best interest of the city. And I do agree with Chief Marlar's explanation. You know, if we were to tie up our ambulances doing lift assists where there's no medical need, we wouldn't have the ambulance available to run critical call types, i.e. cardiac arrests or something like that. And I do agree with them there. The ambulance would be tied up. Once they get there, they're committed. And the next day, an ambulance could be extended. So, you know, as much as we didn't plan to do this, and as much as now we want to provide the service to our community, I don't know that the ambulance could handle all the lift assists. I mean, six in the first 10 days of the month, we're looking at potentially 20 calls a month.
Well, what would have changed? They were doing it anyway.
Because they had the fire apparatus and the ambulance could have gotten cut loose and left, and the fire apparatus would have been there to help pick up the person, assuming there's no medical
medically trained
ambulance or transport. They've got essentially four people on scene. We've only got one. And then we wait for the second to respond back. If the sergeant's on duty, if I'm on duty, it just depends on available staff. If there might be a patrol unit available, or we're going to bring down Oakland and then Kellogg and then Fair Oaks to come in and assist us.
So how does it work out of the city limits?
I'm sorry?
How does it work out of the city limits in the ASA area?
Well, it's going to be the same. If Oakland has a need for help for a lift assist, they're going to call us. We're next up for Oakland's. If Kellogg or Fair Oaks does, they're going to ring us now. We're next up for them as well.
But Oakland and Kellogg would take the call first.
They would, and they generally have two people responding because they have volunteers responding to these lift assist calls. We have a couple of volunteers that want to respond, but they have no medical training. So if they do respond, they're always going to respond with the fire chief, the assistant fire chief, me, or a sergeant, so that there's a supervisor or manager making the decision whether it's a medical call or a lift assist only call to try to limit our liability. It sounds complicated, but it's not once you get involved in the system. We've been able to make it work pretty smoothly.
So it sounds like volunteers can be trained for this over time.
They can be if they want to be. We recruited volunteers for fire services only. Yep. So we have a short-term, an intermediate, and a long-term plan. And after this next 30 days, we're going to be looking at the next 4 weeks to 9 months. We're going to start having discussions about whether or not we need to recruit EMS volunteers only, whether or not we should start getting a first responder training together so that all of us, the two sergeants, the assistant chief, and any volunteers that want to go can be trained as a first responder, so we can do some sort of an assessment. Mm-hmm. We've got three different layers that we're looking at that's going to go out as long as a year to try to make this program work. It took us a year to get the fire program up. Mm-hmm. So
sure.
Another fact you could probably put down is where they're located.
Well, I've already started tracking where they're located because on multiple or repeat calls, we're going to go out and try to do some prevention, intervention, education. We're going to ask them if they have family members in the area, see if we can get somebody else to assist them rather than us. If the care facilities here, that take care of the elderly end up getting repeat calls. We're going to go to that facility and have a talk with them about extending whatever resources they have so they can do their own lift assist so that we're not called for this purpose. We have a number of things we're going to look at come 6 to 9 to 12 months out, and ultimately some of them could end up being policy decisions. Right now none of these are policy decisions. These are just basic operational decisions that we're trying to make so that we can make this system work for now.
Well, I was saying like at the trailer parks and stuff where they're all centrally located, they should probably keep track of their people that are renting from them and stuff in there, you know, for their safety. You know, if there's like SKP Park and they have a turnover of people coming in all the time, whoever's managing that over there ought to kind of keep an eye on the people in there, I would think. That's kind of their responsibility.
Yeah, I don't know if they do that in the mobile home parks or the residential, but the care homes, certainly they have some control over that. And we're hoping by educating and trying to transition some of these folks to their own resources, we can cut our call volume down.
So, four of us wanted to ask if MedCom wanted to give up their ASA. Did that ever happen? Did someone ever ask MedCom?
I did ask MedCom. And I, from the president himself, he said he would get back to me, and he has never gotten back to me. I've just heard secondhand that the answer was no, but he's never told me directly.
Okay, because just for the future, I would like to have a written request to them and a written response from them, just so we have that in our file that we asked.
I can send you a copy of the email I sent to him and his response.
Oh, okay, so you did send him a written
response. Yes, ma'am.
He just hasn't responded.
Well, he responded that I'm considering your request, so I'll take it.
Prod him a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I've done a little reading what people are doing in the rest of the country, and a lot of people are not sending their firemen and their policemen out because of the back injury problem, and there are a lot of private enterprise ambulance services, and so because there are a lot of the fire departments don't get involved because they don't want to be in competition with them. A lot of people are charging for lift assist calls, and a lot of people are just refusing to go. Mm-hmm.
And Councilor Myers, the 9 to 12 month period hits, we could be coming to you with looking at some sort of third party service, a fee to be charged if we continue to go. Or just how do we outsource this whole thing and be done with the lift assist, and they can just charge back directly. But we're going to be looking at that. We just, in the last couple of weeks, we don't have that kind of time. We're trying to stand up our fire department still. That's our priority.
Right. Yeah, I understand. We just kind of...
And compile the data.
Got hit with this, kind of blindsided with this. So I appreciate the work that you are doing to fill in the gap here.
Well, it's a team effort. The fire chief, the assistant chief, and I are all trying to pull together and do the right thing here. So
appreciate all of you.
Okay. Any other questions I can answer?
Just I want to make sure that we're insured.
Yeah.
We're insured for this service. Mm-hmm.
Got a question, Mr. Boyce?
Sure. I just want to make sure too. I appreciate you guys working on this issue. It's our desire to help you figure this out. And as the dispatch center, we just want to make sure we know who to send when your citizens call. So are we dispatching the police, or are we dispatching the fire department?
You're dispatching the fire department.
Okay.
And Lori Jackson has known that for the last couple of weeks. She's worked with me to put a plan in place, and it's worked beautifully since we did it.
Awesome. Perfect.
I might add, too, with the insurance, was just advised today, I think, Debbie, that all our volunteers are now registered in the state workman's comp system, mm-hmm. too. So, because it goes both ways. When you talk about injuring backs, if we're going to use the volunteers, they should be covered.
Yeah. Because they're considered employees, aren't they?
is, I mean, treated as employees, but they're called agents of the city.
Anything else?
Thank you, Chief. City manager update.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, I was eating my dinner at the computer, and I got this call from a guy named Dwayne, and I kept thinking, who's Dwayne? I know Dwayne. And it happened to be Dwayne from the Blackberry Festival. It had been so long since we had talked that he called and asked me to express his their deep gratitude at the Blackberry Festival. He said, this is the best year ever, and both in the organization, they sold 1,300 tickets in Central Oregon this weekend, and in the relationship with the city. Oh. And as you know, we've had this roller coaster ride, but it's really been great. So he asked me to express thanks to all the city staff, especially to Aaron and Dan and Vicky and the crews, working in great partnership. So.
Okay. Anything else? City council business. Remember, monthly meeting time is limited. Please ask questions or make statements that are likely to benefit the group. Individual comments and questions that can be handled on a one-to-one basis should be handled outside the meeting. Councilor Anderson.
I had a couple things. One, I'm going to be gone next council meeting. I'll be on a business trip in Illinois. So I will not be here on the 24th. Another one, and I kind of talked to Jerry and Aaron about this. We kind of looked at a couple different things. It's been a couple months ago. But there was and I wanted to get your guys' feedback, but maybe this next couple weeks, when you're driving on Central and you see Sunset, which is on that side of town, it's got a sidewalk access ramp, and there's quite a bit of homes back there, but there's no sidewalks on either side, north or east or west from there. So people are trying to cross the street right there. There's mm-hmm. no crosswalk across Central to get to a sidewalk so they can get down to Shop Smart or Buy Mart or whatnot. And I just think that that's something we might want to look into, because it's kind of around a corner and it's pretty tough for people to, they got nowhere to go. They get to the intersection and there's no sidewalk on that side of the street. So it's something that we might want to look into or budget for next year or whatever, just to put a sidewalk
and we will.
Crosswalk.
We will. Great point. When you go over there, especially now that Dollar General's coming in, you're starting to have retail on both sides. Mm-hmm. So.
And that's it.
Councilor Stone.
When we took over Dovetail as a city, how far did that go up? Does it go all the way to the end of the Scardy?
I'm not sure how much of Scardy we own, but we did take in Scardy. But I don't know if we have it all the way to the end.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, is if remember. We got the whole street, because Alaska Knolls owned that whole section out there, and I thought they deeded it over to the city.
I think they did, but we were looking at that the other day, and I don't know. We didn't get it pulled up, but we can get that answer for you and let you know.
Yeah, there's a couple people up there that want to know if we're going to sweep that street up there on that far
okay.
end. It's
I'm
full
sure.
of leaves and it plugs everything up. They were asking me about it.
Okay.
I thought that we took all Scardy.
You know, I did too, but somebody asked the other day that came in, and so I wanted to be sure we haven't pulled it up. We've been.
I think the intent is to, when the development goes in and they do those north side improvements, then we would take it. That's my memory, but I think that's a good point. Let's look it up.
Yeah, I'm not sure we've actually done it yet.
Yeah, I don't think we have, because they haven't done the improvements.
Yeah, I thought it stopped at the top of the hill where it actually becomes skirt.
That's what I was saying.
No, we own it. I know we own the Culver Loop, because that's the section that we took with no curb and gutter.
On the north
side. Dan took that in 2007. That's where the new development goes. It'll take a left right there. But it's beyond that. It's on out.
Okay, should I notice the HOA up there has posted those streets for
well, they posted
not public
down,
access?
Down, but not out on the very end. I'm framing a house out there. And
I can't walk that far, so I have to quit.
We'll find out, Councilor Stone.
Yeah.
Drive the golf cart.
I'll find out, let you know.
Okay. That's it for tonight. Councilor Egbert.
I had a question about the items, the only items we've taken off of the agenda in the last three or four meetings. I mean, it just seems like we put things on and you get ready for it and it's taken off of the agenda and they're not you know, we're not, it's like we're not dealing with.
What items are you talking about?
Yeah.
You just had a Jerry moment.
Yeah.
Because I think one of them, of course, is the is we took the workshop for sign ordinance off and made it to this one, and the next council meeting was to be fire. And those are the, those are the only two that I know of.
Fire started back, I mean, that was several weeks ago, or several meetings ago.
Right.
But, I mean, it was just as things have come up, compensation was on the agenda and then got taken off, and then there was the fire thing, got on the agenda and got taken off. And I mean, it just seems like things have been put on and taken off.
And put back on.
You know.
Because some of those were back on.
Well, and some of this could have been dealt with in a timely manner, I think, is where I'm going with it. The I'm having a problem. I mean, I'm having a real problem with I'm not getting correspondence. I'm not getting the minutes. I'm not getting other things that are other correspondence that other counselors are getting.
Because they're getting, they use their email and they use the website. And we pack it up. I brought your packet tonight. And you're welcome to come in.
See the packet tonight.
You're welcome to come in every morning and check. We'll make you a mailbox. It's hard to keep up with one person. And remember that email I sent, oh, I got to make Frank a copy. So we're doing the best we can.
We had this conversation last year before I ran for office, was whether or not staff could keep up with, because I don't do email and I don't do computers. So it's...
Can you meet them halfway? I mean, if they need to do that, why can't you go pick it up? I mean, you want to...
They could put it in my packet. I mean, I get this packet every month.
Well, I'm just
month.
Saying, I'm just offering solutions. I'm just offering solutions. If they do it, I mean, you have to work out with someone where you can go get it. I mean, are you?
We fax you frequently also.
You do fax me, and I do get those.
Well, I mean, we could create... I don't think there's that many that you're missing out on. You could be missing out on... I'm trying to think of an email that we would send out to all the council to give them an update of a change of the agenda, for example. You know, those types of things. We can do our best to try to remember every time we make a create an email it sends out to everybody to push print and make a hard copy of it. And so I guess my point is I don't think there's that many, and the ones that there are, we'll make a concerted effort to try to remember to do that in a busy day. As we're going from one meeting to another, even I would, well, I don't have a memory anyway, so you can't use me. But, you know, I think most of the staff would, you know.
Did you have something to say, please, Chief?
I just wanted to address Councilor Egbert's question about what's been taken off the agenda, because I twice have pulled a no smoking ordinance in the city parks off the agenda. And it's been pulled because I just haven't had time to deal with doing the research and writing it up, but the other things that are going on.
And that packet you got tonight, we just got that email today. In fact, this evening, before the council.
And I have no idea what's in it.
It has nothing to do with tonight. It has nothing to do with tonight.
Yeah, but I've been told that there was an invite from the chief of police for the counselors to go to a barbecue they have for the police department at...
I don't know what other people send and what they send to.
And there was
I can't keep track of
on that. You had sent a letter out to
Well, that might be an idea, Debbie, to make him a mailbox, and then periodically he
I'd be happy to.
Yeah, that way.
Happy to.
I'd be more than happy to come over, Frank, and show you how to work two icons on this iPad that you have to touch to get all the information we all get. All you would have to do is push this little blue envelope and push this red PDF button.
Part of the problem, Tom, is I can't read off of one of those.
Well, you can enlarge print.
That's not the problem.
So does a mailbox work for you? start there. You got to start somewhere. So you got to give it a shot. Unless you got a better idea.
I could put it in my packet. Anything that goes out prior to Wednesday could be put in here.
How do you get your packet? Do you guys?
I deliver it.
You deliver the packet to them?
But I deliver it on the Wednesday before a meeting, so I delivered last Wednesday. So anything after that, he's not going to get it in the packet.
Well, then it could be given to me here. I don't know, I'm just losing faith in staff as able to, the ability to.
Personally, I think that's more than your fault. You're not willing to learn to do this stuff.
You can teach me that. I'll teach you how to weld.
Okay. Let's get productive. So, is that a solution? You want a mailbox, or what do you? We got to figure out something. So,
put it in my packet.
Does that work for you guys?
Can
you
bring it back to the council?
And then anything after that?
Like I said, I don't know who sends out what.
I understand.
I try to do.
There's 53 of us, yeah. And of that, there's about 10 who would more than likely send a global email to the whole council to let them know something, to include our planner from the county. And so to guarantee that they're going to remember 100% of the time,
sure.
Push print is impossible, but we will do our best and put those together and put it in this packet.
So how does he get the emails to work? Somebody sends you an email, and then remember we send them to everybody. Mm-hmm. How does he get that? Does that just come
same as you guys
packet?
Do?
Yeah, we just send it to the whole council.
Right.
And when we remember, we make a copy or we fax it to him.
Okay.
We'll have to work harder at remembering.
Anything else, Frank?
Do you have a wireless printer? Nothing.
Councilor Meyer?
Just a couple quick things that were items that I had for the agenda that really don't need to be on an agenda. They can just be handled. They're simple. I thought that the agreement that we had with Paul, it was actually Paul's idea, was that when we sent out a question, that the question got emailed to everyone on the council.
That isn't my understanding. It would actually be more work. My understanding is that the councilor sends staff the question. Now, if they want to copy the whole council on that, they're welcome to do so, because they're the one typing it and copied the whole council. But then when we get the question, we answer it, and then we copy the whole council. Unless there's some things, like Wes has presented some questions in the last few months, that were executive session privilege that we couldn't send out to the whole council, that we met with him and answered some of his questions that were discussed in executive session. But in general, how I've interpreted it and how we've treated it, a councilor wants to present a question to us. It's their choice to whether they want to copy the whole council up front or just send it to us. But when we do answer, we copy the entire council.
Okay. Then the other thing is, I just think we need to get straight that when you're on vacation or medical leave or whatever, mm-hmm. that if any of us has information, it should go to the acting city manager. And if it involves a safety department, it should also go to the head of that safety department. That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, that, and that's very legitimate.
Mm-hmm. We're going to discuss that further in the workshop next week or 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else?
I'm just curious, what further do you have to discuss?
Well, I mean, it was just on the agenda in case people want to, some type of protocol, whatever you guys, it's just it's on there, so.
That was in that email I sent out.
Well, Chance, that went out that said if you want to just bring these up during councilor comments, just to get us out of this.
But I think you make a good point. Is everybody okay with that? That was my understanding as to how it would work. I mean, it wouldn't make sense for Wes to send me an individual email and then me then turn to re-forward that entire email out to the whole council. If he wants the whole council to know about it up front, it's his decision to make. But it's our responsibility, regardless in the end when we have the answer, to send it out to everybody. Okay.
Well, Chad, with all these emails going to all the counselors and back and forth, is that not falling into the realm of a public meeting situation? We have all this information being shared just amongst counselors. I never answer anybody's email in an all reply.
If I and that's a very good practice. You shouldn't. What the law prohibits is the council from either making a decision or deliberating towards a decision outside the scope of a public meeting. So it's not generally deemed deliberations by the courts if you're just sending information one way. So staff gets a question, staff answers that question, copies the whole council, nobody else responds or does anything, there's no deliberations occurring. Where deliberations start occurring is when people hit reply all and say, okay, I understand that, but what about this? And then they say, well, I agree with staff on this, but I don't agree on that. So that's why we always say don't reply all of these emails, so that way you don't have those deliberations. If in fact we start getting follow-up questions to an email, so Wes sends an email, asks a couple of questions, Todd reads the staff response and sends some follow-up questions, then staff's going to have to make a call about whether or not we can actually respond to those follow-up questions in an email, or do we need to wait to the meeting to respond to those questions, because then you could potentially get into a deliberation standpoint. But the key for everyone, for you guys to remember, is just don't hit reply all to any of these one-way communications.
That's one advantage of not doing computers. Okay. Thank you.
I don't have anything tonight, so. Public comment. The purpose of public comment is to allow citizens to present information regarding items off the agenda. A time limit of 3 minutes per citizen shall apply. Not have any. We are adjourned. Council will take a 5-minute break before beginning the workshop sign ordinance review.